I want to give you an opportunity to honor my parents, Van and Janda Cody, as they come.
Well, sit on down. We're just like going to be in the living room today, okay? And, we're just excited to be. Wow, hey, look at all these folks here. Wow, there was only 34 years ago. That's great, isn't it? So, you know, really, we're just really pleased to be here and so grateful to be able to speak to Wiggins, Long Beach, and Ocean Springs. It's just amazing. And so we're going to try to look in the camera a little bit and, you know, get you part of what's going on. But sharing a story, that's what we're going to do. We don't want to take a lot of time to intro it. We just want to talk about our story and how we met Jesus. And so I thought we'd just start with Jan, and you just kind of just take it and kind of give the intro of what's going on.
Yes, okay. Well, before we really get into it, I'd like to announce for all you fashionistas, yes, I have white pants on after Labor Day.
That's right.
Yes. And I notice a few others. That's good. I may have them on for Christmas, too.
Yeah.
Down here, you never know. And I'd also like to say that God set this day up. A few months ago, we were in our small group in our conversation, and we were talking about what God had put in our hearts. And I said, you know, lately I've had this desire in my heart to share our testimony. And I don't know what that means, if it's just going to be somebody that I come face to face with or whatever, but God's just preparing me to share our testimony. It wasn't long after that, Jordan said, I think it'd be good if y'all share your testimony. So I know God's prepared this day for us. Yes. So you ready? Okay, well, we're going to start at the beginning. We were two Cajun kids growing up in Gonzales, Louisiana, which is right outside of Baton Rouge. And we met on my 14th birthday at a teenage dance hall called the Jungle House. Not in church.
Not in church.
And we dated all through high school. We never went with anyone else. There's our prom picture.
There we go.
Yes, my mom made that dress. Hey, Mom, thanks for making that dress. So she ought to be listening today. And so we just dated all through high school. And a month after I graduated, June 23rd, we got married. And we have our picture. Yes. As you can see,
me.
I wasn't a fashionista then either. Not many had many dresses on when they walked down the aisle.
God forgive us.
It was a really nice little dress. I liked it. Long story with that dress. But.
Oh.
So anyway, so Van started working. He started working on the railroad, working straight nights. And I was working at accounts payable in a little chemical plant there. And we didn't see each other too often for the first few years. And then he got his dream job, his accounting job, and things were going really good.
Really good.
And, you know, we got married in the Catholic Church, and that day we left and we never went back. Just, you know, how you are whenever you get out of your mama's house. And we just went on with life, you know, going on. And so one day we said, you know, I guess it's time that we start our family. So we were married about 5 years then. So in 1977, our first daughter, Carrie Elizabeth, was born. And we have a picture. No, it was
wrong
one
picture.
Back.
Yeah.
She wasn't that big when she was born.
It's me in the maroon. Yeah. There we go.
Yes, there. Yes, Van was fashioning that day with a red, white, and blue plaid suit. This is a nice suit. Yeah, it's very good.
Oh,
that
my.
Was the day she was baptized, actually. That was the day we went back to church.
One day.
Yes. So, you know, we were just ordinary people living day to day, week to week, paycheck to paycheck, not concerned about the future, what was going on, and, you know, just going day to day. That's all it was. Till about 1979, Carrie was almost 3 years old, and God started speaking to us. We know now it was God, but we were not seeking God. We were just living in the world, having a good time. We used to say we were having fun sinning.
Absolutely right.
Didn't have a clue. There was not, no conviction in our life. Until one day we watched a movie on TV called The Omen. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that movie. And we didn't know it, but it was talking about the Antichrist, actually. But what that movie did was cause us to say, is the devil real? Not is God real. Is the devil real? And there was like a fear that kind of touched us that day. That was the first real awareness, I guess you'd say, we had of the spiritual world. And then not long after that, we were watching the news, and there was a plane wreck in New Orleans. A plane had crashed into a local subdivision around the airport. And we said, my goodness, people were just sitting in their living room like we are now, and the next minute they were dead. What if that happened to us? Would we go to heaven? And we just started pondering on that for a while. So time went on. It's about early 1980, and we got cable vision. Yay. Yeah. So one of the channels was the Christian Broadcasting Network. And we would watch it. We'd kind of flip through the channels, and we'd get to that channel, and mostly Van would make fun of those people.
No one is that happy. Nobody is that happy. Right?
We'd laugh at them and all, but, you know, God's word does not come back void, right? And that seed was... It's just, you see how it was just God was speaking in so many different ways over these months. We were still living, going to barrooms, but even in the barrooms, God was speaking, believe it or not, in the barrooms. And so, you know, we just realize now, as we look back, that the Holy Spirit speaks to lost people, guys.
Right.
It's not just after you're saved, but His Holy Spirit starts drawing you.
Absolutely. You know, He does. And, you know, the Bible teaches us that no man comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. No one comes to God all by themselves. You don't wake up and say, I think today I'm going to come to God. Unless the Father is drawing somebody, they can't come to Jesus. And then the Bible also says that everybody that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But then He says, how shall they call upon Him in whom they have not known? And how shall they know unless somebody tells them? And how shall somebody tell them unless they be sent? And so that's exactly what God did for us. It started with me. He sent somebody. And look, never despise who He sends. Because He sent to me a guy by the name of L.T. Averett. Now that's a good name, L.T. Averett. I was working in Baton Rouge at a firm, and he was one of our customers. And I was just shooting across a breezeway one afternoon, just minding my own business, and L.T. Averett walked through the warehouse, and he hollered at me, and this is what he said. He said, hey, boy, are you saved? And I didn't have a clue of what he meant, no idea. But he walked up to me, and he gave me two small pamphlets, little, we call them tracts. You know, some of you are familiar with those. And he gave them to me and basically said, you know, read these. And so I didn't read them. I threw them in my desk drawer and left them there for several months. But then one day at lunch, I didn't have anything to do. I was eating a sandwich at my desk. And so I reached back in the center drawer and took them out and looked at it. And I started reading them. And I read both of them completely through. And I'll tell you right now that something right then began to happen. the Word of God is powerful. It's alive. And something began to happen inside of me, just like a small thing inside, not changing my life, because we didn't change our life. You know, we were just normal people having fun. But then the Lord began to speak. I mean, I understand, we didn't know it was the Lord. We used to call it the voice in our head because we didn't know what else to say. And so that voice in my head, twice within a two-week period, while I was working, out of nowhere, that voice in my head said, go buy a Bible. Now, you got to understand, we had never touched a physical Bible in our life. We were 26 years old, never even looked in a Bible, didn't know what it meant, but found my way into a bookstore and bought a Bible there in Baton Rouge. And watch this. I was so angry buying a Bible. You would think, well, you're so happy because the voice in his head said go, and now you did. But I was angry, cursing myself. I was just in turmoil. And I got back to my office, and I remember taking that Bible and just slamming it on my desk, just angry. And then something really miraculous happened.
Yes. Well, over this time, I had read those tracts Van was leaving around the house. He'd put them here, he'd put them there. And one day I read them, and in one of the tracts, it explained how you have to come to God before your life changes. I realized then I was trying to change within myself and become good before I came to God. I thought I had to be good in order to come to God, or go back to church, as I was thinking. And so those things started stirring within me. So then this morning, I was watching the 700 Club, and there was a lady on there who had lupus, and it affected every part of her body. She had been a beauty queen, and it just affected her tremendously. She had gotten into a Bible study, and the disease started causing her to lose her memory. She said one morning, she couldn't even remember her children's names. And she said, but all she could remember was some of the scripture that she had learned in this Bible study. And right then, that voice told me, if that was you, you wouldn't know anything because you don't know any scripture. And there was like a fear that came over me. And I called up Van at work. And I said, Van, I told him the story. And I said, we've got to buy a Bible.
You got to understand. I mean, you understand? I mean, the timing of God is impeccable. I mean, the moment I slammed that Bible on my desk, the phone rang. It was the secretary. She said, Jan's on the phone. And then all I'm going through. Now, by the way, I didn't tell her that I was buying Bibles and all that. We didn't share these things. We, like some of you, we weren't sharing things. You know what I'm talking about? And so when she said that, all of a sudden, I realized several things. Number one, I realized that God is real. All of a sudden, first time in my life, God is real. And the second thing, I realized that God is in this room. He's in this room. And then the third thing that really just rocked me was, and he knows I'm in this room. And those three things together, all of a sudden, just turned us a degree away from the ideals of the way we were living. So we brought the Bible home, and that night we read through the whole book of Revelation. That was our first exposure to the Bible. Now you got to understand, some of you know, oh, that's deep. No, we were like, man, this is awesome. The world is breaking up. There's all kinds of death and disease, and my goodness, the things are falling out from outer space, and wow, this is cool. And so what we did the next night, we read through the book of Revelations again. That's more than some of you've read in a long time. And we were lost.
And that was a lot of reading for you, because all you read was the TV guide at that time.
That's true. That's a fact. There were no pictures in the Bible. It wasn't a picture Bible at all, you know. And so we're reading the Bible. And after reading, now you got to understand, we'd read the Bible regularly, but then we'd just go out and do our thing. We'd party. We were like just club animals, you know, just up in there and doing everything that was going on in the clubs. But we would read the Bible. We would read the Bible. And after several months of reading it faithfully, This is what we came to the conclusion. This is the revelation we got. You say, well, you must have got the revelation of Jesus. No. How about the Father? No. What about heaven? No. We got the revelation, and I came to Jen one day, and I said, baby, if what we're reading, if this is real, if this is true, we don't stand one chance at all of ever doing anything but going to hell. That's what we got of the Gospels. I'm sorry if you know, I wish it would have been the glory of Jesus, but it wasn't. It was, you're condemned, you're lost, you're undone, you're a sinner, and you're separated from God completely. That's what we had. We didn't know what to do. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you know you're lost, but you don't know how to be found? And so God knew we were there. He's watching what's going on. And then something great happened. August 22nd, 1980. All of a sudden, it's 7:15 at night. It's raining outside. Jan's pregnant. I'm washing dishes with a big old cowboy hat on. I wasn't a cowboy. You just did dumb stuff. I wasn't a cowboy, but it was cool to have a hat. So hat on, cool, cowboy. I'm washing the dishes because she's not feeling so good. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. We open the door, and there's a couple there that we're acquainted with. I work with the woman. I work with her sister. Last time we saw them was in a club, a dance club in Baton Rouge. And Daryl and Ray Lynn said, "What is up, Daryl?" Ray Lynn, he had a giant Bible underneath his arm. I mean, the biggest Bible I'd ever seen in my life. And he said, "Can we come in and share something with you?" And sure, come on in, you know. So they sat down, and what they came to share with us was the way where there was no way. See, the way maker, it's just, he makes a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. We were pinned up against the wall. And Darlene and Ray Lynn shared with us how to find Jesus. And so we knelt down in our living room, and we surrendered. That's what we remember. We just surrendered to everything that was happening in our life. And that was many, many years ago. I tell you, what we realize is that God speaks to lost people. Don't ever forget that. God speaks to lost people. And don't ever forget that lost people can hear God. May not understand, may not know, may be confused, may not know what to do with what you hear, but you can hear. And so we heard God, we surrendered. And then some great things begin to happen.
Yes, you'd think, well, all right, everything went just fine after that, right? No, a week later, I miscarried our second child. Mm-hmm. I was actually threatening that night when they came over. And so about a week later, we were on our way to the hospital, and I was praying in the back seat. I remember saying, God, after all this, and we finally give our life to you, and we're going through this, the worst thing that had ever happened to us, you know. And right then and there, I made a commitment to God. I said, but you know, I know this is real. I know you've called us. We have surrendered our life to you, God. We totally trust you. We're committed. We have nothing to go back to. Right. There was nothing to go back to at that time.
And you know, Jen, I might say that at the same time she's praying this to the Father, I'm in the waiting room of the hospital, and I'm sort of upset. Matter of fact, I was real upset. And I just told God, I my second prayer, first prayer was, Lord, save me. Second prayer was, why you did this. In other words, I don't serve you a day in my life, not one day in my life, and then we give ourselves to you, and this is what I get? I mean, I God doesn't mind if we're just honest like that. I was still rough cut. You know what I mean? I wasn't like, hallelujah, Lord, thank you that you're the defender of the weak. And, oh, I'm strong when I'm weak. I'm like, why did this happen? And then I just paused and I said, but God, we're going with this. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do this thing no matter what happens.
So we answered the call. Right. He called us by name, and we answered him both. Together and individually, we were committed, and that was it, you know. And so I had you know, to recover a little bit. So the first day we could go to church, the couple had invited us to their church in Baton Rouge. And the first day was a Mother's Day. And we have a picture of me and Carrie. That's the picture of me and Carrie on Mother's Day. That was the first day we were going to church. And we were excited. We never missed church after that. We just plugged in.
Plugged in. You know, the first time we went to church was in Baton Rouge, about 25 miles away from the house. And we were listening to the first message. He was speaking out of 2 Peter. And the guy who led me to the Lord was sitting on the side of me. And I just looked over to Darryl. And I said, Darryl, how long has this been going on? And he was confused. He said, how long is what going on? I said, how long has a man been standing in front of a room like that and talking out the Bible the way he's talking out the Bible? You got to understand, we didn't know anything about God. Some of you sitting out here right now, you don't know anything about God. You wonder, how do you break into this thing? You just break in, God will make a way. He just smiled and laughed. And he said, it's been going on a long, long time, man. And so we heard the sermon. It was just like water pouring on us. And then we read in the Bible that Jesus got baptized. And of course, what Jesus got baptized. If Jesus got baptized, then we got to get baptized. And so after service one Sunday, we followed the pastor down into the back hallway. Nobody goes in the back hallway unless you're invited in the back hallway. You know, the back hallway. That's where whatever goes on back there. But anyway, we just broke back there, and he was walking and said, hey, I don't know if we said, hey, pastor, preach. I don't know what we said. Hey, he turned around and said, hey, we were reading in the Bible. We were reading in the Bible that Jesus got baptized, and we got to get baptized. And after he got up off the floor, because that's a dream of a pastor, I'm sure. Or he thought, I got two crazies in the back hallway. But anyhow, so he brought us through some little class, I think, in the back room. And next Sunday we got baptized. They put us in white robes. On television, we got 2 weeks ago, we up in the clubbing, and now we're in a white robe. That's what Jesus will do. Come on now. And so, you know, it was so wonderful. It was just wonderful, you know. And so here we are, we're 25 miles away. I mean, I work in Baton Rouge, I come home, we go back to church, and it's just too much. And so we start looking for a church in our community. We go back to our former church. We don't know that. We go to another church, no. So finally we go to that church where all the sick, crazy, weird folks go, a church sort of like this, and we break in there. And once, you know, we're walking in the back hallway by the bathrooms and the water fountain, and that voice in our head, we still call it the voice in the head because we don't know. And that voice spoke to both of us at the same time and said, you're home. And it was so loud inside of us that I looked at Jan, and she looked at me, and her eyes were like big, like golf balls, and my eyes were big because we had heard that voice together. When we got home, I said, did you hear something in that back hallway? And she said, yeah, I did. And I said, well, what was it? She said, I heard you're home. I said, I heard the same thing. I said, so this must be where we got to be. I guess this is it. And so we spent 9.5 years there, a great pastor who taught us the word of God, great people, sort of like you, just loving people who just loved the Lord and loved people and received you where you were, didn't care if you were a little weird, didn't care if you had a lot of questions, didn't care if you didn't know anything. They just teach you. God attached us to two couples that mentored us and helped us. It was one of, we devoured the word of God, not only in church, 3 times a week, like 2 hours every time, hallelujah, but also in our home, on the job. As a matter of fact, one day I was reading the Bible on my job. Every day at lunch, I closed my door for an hour, I'd read the Bible. That's all I did. And I was reading scripture in there, and all of a sudden I realized that things are new, things are different. Things are amazing. And somehow or another, God, you're breaking something out of my past, out of the way we were raised, out of all those things. And I'll never forget, I just jumped up out of my chair, and I remember just leaping up off the ground and taking my hand and smashing it on my desk real loud. And I screamed as loud as I could scream, the buck stops here! And I'll tell you something, it was like I don't know what happened, but something in the spiritual realm just broke. And it's like generational curses broken. The way of thinking wrong broken. And like a whole new world just opened up. I didn't know then, but I know now. That's revelation. That's what we need. That's the bread of life. That's what Jesus gives. Everything changed right then. I remember running into the storage cabinet where all the office supplies was. We had these little red stars. And you know, the kind you lick, you know, your teacher puts it on your papers. And I remember that verse that I was reading. I stuck a star on the side of it right there. And I said, the buck stops here. And you know what? The buck did stop there. And so once we realized that we were, you know, away from God and needed Jesus, we thought, well, if we're that way, then our whole family must be that way. So we realized that we had to tell somebody. We had to tell our family. And so we just made a list of all of our family. And we just systematically started going to them and not telling them that they were bad and ugly, but that what had happened to us, because by this time they kind of knew things were getting a little bit weird. We were a little bit different. All the things we used to do, we weren't doing anymore. And then things that we never thought we'd do, we were doing. And so we told our whole family everything we knew about Jesus.
Amen. And we just plod on. We just lived day to day, year to year, but with this time with purpose. Before, I had no idea what my purpose of my life was, but now we had purpose to share the gospel with people because we realized we were lost and we didn't know it, and so other people didn't know it. And they needed the revelation, so we would tell people, you know, all our friends, people like that.
On the job.
And so almost exactly a year to the day that I had the miscarriage and that we had gotten saved, we had our second daughter, Rebecca Sue.
Yeah.
And we have a picture of, we always took pictures before we were going to church because that was when we were dressed up. So we were about to go to church. There's Carrie and Rebecca. Rebecca's not looking at the camera, but we were. So
Rebecca said, what's up with this?
And then a few years later, we had Jordan Michael. In 1984, and we took another picture before we were going to go to church there. Little Jordan had no idea what his future was going to be there. And so we just continued to mature. We were the first generation born-again Christians in both sides of our family.
Both sides. That's right. We were. It's just wonderful. You know what I mean? So we just kept going on, and then you know, I'm pressing in. I'm just having a great time. I mean, things are wonderful, but then, you know, God will mess with you, and God knows what he wants to do with you, all of us. And so what he began to do with me is he began to call me. We got to hurry, don't we? Well, we're going to hurry. Now we're going to put it in Cajun overdrive now. You ready for it? You ready? And so God began to call me. And God, you know, God began to confirm the call. He always confirms things. Every time I turned the corner, somebody had a word for me. People would come into the church. They had a word. Sister Peggy, some of you knew, she's with Jesus now. She had just called me out. One time she was preaching in Port Allen, Louisiana, and we were going to go. So I said, look, I'm tired of all this getting words telling me what I'm going to do. And so I hid behind a tree and a post in the church. I was hiding right behind it like this. Halfway through the message, she just come down. She come around there. She says, the Lord's got a word for you. Everywhere I turned, the Lord had a word for me. Everybody was telling me what I ought to do, confirming what God was telling me. I was scared stiff. I didn't know what it meant to be called, to be a pastor, to be a preacher, to do anything. And it was wonderful to be that way. God began to draw me. There were hard decisions had to be made. And then my pastor, he basically, you know, said, I want you to come on staff with me. I believe God's got you where he wants you. And so I had to make a decision to leave a job, a good job, great benefits, good people. I mean, a wonderful place. And so we made the decision. And it wasn't easy. It's not always easy to surrender to God. Give up a job after 11 years. vacation, bonuses, great insurance, retirement. Matter of fact, I had just set up the entire retirement program for the entire corporation, and then I had to leave. So I took just like a 50% cut in pay, no insurance, no bonuses, 1 week vacation, and I cashed in the retirement program that I had just set up, bought two sports coats, two shirts, two ties, two pair of pants, and a used car, and went into the ministry, the great ministry. But it was wonderful, you know. Served on staff there for 4 years, and it was wonderful. Tell them about how worship
yes,
broke in our
home. Yes, a real milestone in our life that we remember was one night Van was out witnessing on Tuesday nights. I don't know, some of you may be familiar how we
Tuesday
used
night
to do
visitation.
That. Visitation. And he came home, and the guy he had gone with had given him a cassette tape of Integrity Music. How many of you heard of Integrity Music? Not a whole lot, because that was a long, that was before Hillsong even. But wonderful worship music. And Van put it on, and we started listening to it, and all of a sudden, three kids came out of the back room. What's that, you know? We start listening to Integrity Music, and we found ourselves singing in the living room. Jordan was about three, and Carrie was about eight, and Rebecca in the middle there somewhere. And that night, a spirit of worship fell into our family, but mostly on our children.
Right.
Jordan started playing the drums. He was he had a toy box lid, a metal truck, and two Tinker Toy sticks. And he would follow that music and play the drums. And as we'd hear the girls just singing in their bedroom and singing good, you know. And so a spirit of worship fell upon our family. And I must say that worshiping Jesus is just right as important as giving your life to Him. Worship is so important. Worship and prayer
right.
to God. And so, you know, we saw the kids just growing and maturing along with us.
That's right. Things were great. I did want to say one thing about LTA, but let me bring him back up, because now I'm on staff at a church, and every afternoon our pastor would make us go visit people. You wouldn't. He said, "You're not staying in the office. Get out of here and go do something for God." And so we that was old school. And so we I was visiting this one family, and I was out in the country. I came up to a stop sign, and there was a backhoe there. They had a hole dug, and I could see the top of a man's head in there. And when I stopped at the stop sign, I looked over in the hole there, and the man popped his head out, and it was L.T. Averett. He had mud all over his face, you know. I mean, he's just a country man. And I said, "Mr. LT, it's Van Ducote. You remember you gave me," you know, and I explained, I said, I'm on staff at a church now, and I'm preaching." And he looked up at me, and he didn't say a word, but tears just began to just flow down his face. Just made a track right through the mud that was on his face. And he just smiled that smile. And I just looked down, and I said, "I want to thank you for telling me." See, God will use anybody. Don't turn anybody down. Might be a little lady in a grocery store. The last time I bought all the liquor for our Christmas party for our company, I mean, just a buggy full of liquor. I was checking out, a little lady in front of me turned around, little woman, she turned around, she said, "How you gonna feel if somebody drinks that and then they go out and they kill somebody on the road, a little child?" She told me that. I think she was an angel. I don't know. That's the last time I ever bought a buggy full of liquor. So, you know, everything's great. All three of our kids, they're in a wonderful Christian school. I'm associate pastor. I preach every other Wednesday night. My pastor loves me. I love him. It's wonderful. It's great. All of our family lives around us. My testimony in the city is just wonderful. And God says, "That's all cool, but I'm moving you." And so God began to deal with us. God is just something, the way God begins to deal with you. And so we're teaching a Sunday school class. We got 40 young married people in a Sunday school class. It's wonderful, man. And so one Sunday, Brother Ed says, we're going to have a prophet here next Sunday. We had never had a prophet in our church. And so he said, we're going to have a prophet. And so I've been reading my Bible, and a prophet knows things about you. And sometimes prophet comes tell you things about you. So in our Sunday school class, I told the group, I remember we said, I said, you know, I'm believing God for a word today. I just really need to know if I'm in the right place. Because God's, you know, internally dealing, I'm moving you. Am I in the right place? And so we get into the church service. And by the way, Jan had been struggling. Is she a good mom? Like all you moms, you got kids running all over. You wonder, am I a good mom? And sometimes she'd cry and say, am I a good mom? And say, maybe you're a good mom. But sometimes when you tell your wife something, it don't mean nothing. You know how that goes. It's not as powerful. You know, it's not as powerful. You know, and so she's got this thing going on, and I got this thing going on about am I, you know, this and that. Well, we get in the church service, and after it's, you know, it's going on, he looks at us. We're sitting over. He says, you two, come up here. So we come up, and name and what, da, 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 da. He looks at me. The first thing he says, you're in the right place. And there was a gasp out of the 40 people in our Sunday school, like, So he goes on, he tells us a bunch of wonderful things. He said, in 3 and 6 months, I will send you out with a word. He says all that. And he finishes, and it's wonderful. We're walking back to our seat. He says, oh, one more thing. He said, oh, Jan, because he had asked her name. Oh, Jan, oh, the Lord just wants you to know that you're a good mom. I'm telling you, God knows. It's just the little things that matter. You know? And so you know what's amazing? We started, you know, by that time, you know, things are getting really weird. Brother Ed comes in my office one afternoon. I just happened to be there. I was never there in the afternoon. I'm there. He comes in, knocks on the door. He comes in. He says, Van, you know, he said, I just want to let you know that there's one bicycle here, and I'm riding it. Now, you don't know what that means. In preacher talk, that's there's only one leader here, and I'm it. And then another man of God came along and said, have you ever thought about being a senior pastor? I said, no, I'm happy here. And all those things came together. And believe it or not, we went to other churches trying out. That's really cool to go try out at a church. I mean, it's like a, you know, trying out. But it didn't work out until one day. God just opened the door. We came here. You know how many months it was from the time that prophet from South Africa said in 3 and 6 months? You know, 9 months. 9 months we came here, and things were great.
August 1989.
1989.
We drove across the Mississippi state line with our three kids in the back seat. Didn't have a clue that they were going to be so important in the ministry of Northwood Church. Not only was he calling us, but he was calling our three kids.
That's right.
And for we've been here 34 years now. We've seen this church grow to 4 locations. We've had so many wonderful, faithful servants of God working with us. We didn't do this alone, believe me. God worked in all of you, and you know, some of you have been here almost, some of you longer than us. Some of you almost as long as us. You've seen the good and the bad, the hard times, the good times, God moving and working. And yeah, there's our family there when we moved here. Jordan was playing the drums already. He ended up playing the drums when he was 8 years old. Carrie and Rebecca were on the worship team at 12 and 10 or whatever they were, their ages. And so, you know, we've grown, and we've lived 34 years here in Gulfport, 33 years in the same house, saved 43 years,
right.
And Gulfport is our home.
You know, I just wanted to thank our kids, you know, because they were an integral part, and really and truly, they were such good kids. I used to tell them, thank you so much, you make pastoring easy. Because you're so wonderful.
And we're also seeing our third generation, our grandchildren are starting to work in the ministry.
That's right.
Ariana's starting to sing, and Haley, our oldest granddaughter's on leading worship with her husband in Alabama, and three generations now.
That's right. It's wonderful.
Yes.